You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour for another edition today. I'm pretty excited today, actually, to have the two guests that I do, because we're going to talk about a new, I don't know if paradigm is the right word, but certainly something new in the publication industry that's associated with surveying, and not a new concept in terms of the fact that it was just thought up last week. There's been a lot of forethought put into this transition that we've just seen recently, and I trust probably all of our listeners now have in their hands a copy of the same thing that I have about the publication. But I wanted to have a conversation today with Neil Sandler. Welcome, Neil.
Hey, Kurt. Thank you for having me this morning. Appreciate it.
And Gavin Schrock is also with us today. Welcome, Gavin.
Hey, Kurt.
And thank you for getting up so early on the West Coast. I appreciate that. And, of course, the reason I have Neil and Gavin on the show with me today is to talk about and I'm going to let them explain how they refer to this. I'm going to call it a name change, but I think it's more than a name change because it's representative of where we are in our profession, I think, and where we're headed in our profession. And the name of the artist formerly known as, no, that was Prince or somebody, wasn't it? This is the magazine formerly known as Professional Surveyor Magazine, which has been around a really long time. I was trying to think back exactly to the origins, because I can
1981,
remember.
Kurt, 1981.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't long, or actually it was before I moved to the northern part of the state, but I knew the folks who put it together back in those days, and Cliff Thorpe was really involved with the Surveyors Association, and when it came out, it was pretty exciting, and I think now you have another new exciting move. And so for those of you who do not know what we're talking about XYHT, and I'm going to assume that I've said that correctly after reading the FAQs and talking to you guys, so that I've expressed it correctly. As I was putting the letters together, you know how we try to pronounce acronyms?
Go ahead, Kurt,
always
try it.
Well, what I thought was appropriate about this was if I were to try to pronounce your acronym, XYHT, it would be EXCITE. And,
we like
and that's
that.
Pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting because it is exciting. so I think it will excite your readers. And so with that, I don't know if you want to start, Neil, perhaps, and then have
sure.
Gavin come in as well and just talk a little bit about the genesis of how this came about, and then we'll get into more details as we go on, but just
right.
Let give people an idea of how we got here.
Great. Thank you, Kurt, and thank you for the opportunity. You know, Kurt, first of all, I want to thank you because you were part of our close board of advisors who really helped us over the last few years through this transition. And as you know, this is not a transition that we entered into lightly. I've been on board with Professional Surveyor now for coming up on 11 years. And I have seen the transition or transitions that are exciting. Our world seems to have changed or started evolving really as soon as I got on board 11 years ago. Yeah, I remember Jeff Jacobs, Senior Executive Vice President for Leica Geosystems, came to us with an idea about introducing scanning as a new component of the world of surveying. And Jeff started writing a column for us. That was almost 10 years ago. And ironically, today I was reading the Pangea newsletter, which is coming out to all you folks tomorrow, and Jeff Jacobs talks about a TV program that's coming on next week. But that's another story. 4 years ago, though, I first entertained the idea, or I threw out the idea of transitioning the brand Professional Surveyor into something different. So originally, you can fault me. It was my idea. If you want to fault anyone, I threw the idea out there. I went and talked to you. I talked to other surveyors. Some balked at the idea, but for the most part, people were intrigued. We talked about it. Things really started picking up pace about three years ago when I ran into some I consider visionaries like Gavin Schrock, who's on the phone here, Dave Doyle, who I think all of you know is the chief geodesist for National Geodetic Survey, now on our staff, and educator as well. But so we started talking to more and more who I consider visionaries in the profession, and turns out, ironically, Kurt, that I was the last person that needed convincing that it was the right thing to do. The surveyors who were involved encouraged me to go through this transition. I understand that not everyone's thrilled about it because some people feel that it's taking away something, which, in fact, is quite the opposite. We did this. The final decision was that we feel this is adding. We're putting the world at the surveyor's table. And I'm going to let Gavin talk a little bit of XYHT, but let me just interject one last thing. I went with our couple of staff members went a week and a half ago to do a press check as early in the morning as they were running the first issue of XYHT off the press. So I got an advance copy, and the very next day I got on an airplane for a trip, and I was on a plane for 4 hours, and I sat with the first issue of XYHT for 4 hours, and I tried to have a tabula rasa, blank slate, blank mind, just reading through the magazine. And I have to tell you, I know I gave you a copy, your first copy last week, Kurt. I dropped one off at your office. My reaction was like, if anyone reads this, they're going to say, oh, my God, I wish I was a surveyor. Because you'll see most of the articles are surveying-centric. They are showing all the numerous opportunities that are being laid at the feet of surveyors. As I said, most of the articles are written by some of the leading surveyors in our community. So nothing's being taken away from the surveying community. Quite the opposite. We're putting a lot at the feet of surveyors. I'm talking too much. I tend to ramble, as you know, Kurt. Maybe you can let Gavin talk about the name XYHT.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was going to say to Gavin before he gets started. As I was reading his foreword at the beginning of the magazine, I thought it was very well written, and I like the way, Gavin, you expressed what this was about and what its connection to us in the real world and the surveying world and the world in general was about. And so if you could maybe expound on that a little bit.
Well, before I get to that, what appears to be kind of an esoteric geodetic term, back to what Neil said about when the Flat Dog Media, that the published professional surveyor, I first heard about this idea of a bit of a transition, what, about 3 years ago, Neil?
About three years ago.
When I heard about this, I was off doing other projects, and wasn't going to nose to the grindstone writing much, but then the idea intrigued me because something had been kind of gnawing at me, and I talked to a lot of surveyors, and something had been gnawing at me that our profession is well served by several excellent publications. I like all of them. And then there's some lateral ones, in the geospatial that are just astounding. But there was something missing. And I figured out what it was for me. When I started surveying about 30 years ago, the surveyors did a lot. And they were viewed as doing a lot more than just boundary. Now, I love boundary. I wish I could do that every day. But, and you look back through history, anytime something was built or measured or anything of any significance, there was a surveyor involved, the railroads across the country, the big highway systems, all that. And what I was saying was there was a bit more of a centricity on just the boundary part, the most essential, like can be very well argued. But there was still a lot of activity going on and needed to go on. And when they talked about they wanted to broaden the in across sort of a pan positioning for geospatial high-precision positioning, with surveying as the heart and soul, I went, okay, I can get on board with that. And, Neil can attest the reaction to people long before this actually got turned into a publication was so positive. I was worried people would be freaking out. I've only received 2 hate mails so far. We've been deluged with people. I got a couple of get-off-my-lawn emails. We've been deluged with people that want to be part of this, that want to write for it. That sort of cemented it, that, we weren't taken away, we were adding. Neil convinced me of that, and I believe it, that it's broader.
Let me interrupt Gavin. You know, one of the things that Gavin came on board with us and he started working for us about 3 years ago, and one of the things that really opened my vision was that listening to Gavin, the different factors that he was bringing to us. I think one of the first ones, Gavin, you had that friend up in Canada who had a scanner, and he said he went to the Indy 500 race and had a scanning equipment with him, and he scanned a race car that was having problems and determined that that one of the wings was off by a millimeter, and they made adjustments to the wing on the race car, and the car automatically went 3 miles an hour faster. So here's a surveyor using scanning technology. Gavin went on a trip, a 10 or 12 day trip to Europe. And he was doing things like metrology. He's talking about high precision surveying of a project of an atomic collider in Switzerland. I know that's off the beaten path, but I mean just the diversity of opportunity for anyone who's in precision positioning. And you know what? If we can't get our young people excited about the future of a profession, we're all in trouble. And I got to tell you, I mean, I've been handing out copies of XYHT to anyone who displays an interest. And the jazz has been, this is exciting. What an exciting field this is. And you know, maybe one of the worst jobs that we've done as surveyors, you know, is get young people excited about what we do. Well, you know, Bob, you know, or I'm sorry, Kurt, you know, Bill Orsinger, I think he's the incoming president for the Maryland chapter of Society of Surveyors, I believe.
Right.
Or is he the current president? Incoming?
He's incoming, yeah.
Incoming, okay. He came by our offices a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about all the young staff members that they've brought on board his surveying company because they're excited about the diversity of opportunity in geospatial precision positioning. And surveying is the center of it, but all the other related fields that are still based on surveying. And Gavin, and I know Gavin hates it when I call him a visionary, but he really is. I mean, I go to trade shows with Gavin all the time, and I just sit there in awe of what Gavin discusses. He sat down with the CEO of Leica Geosystems, Hexagon a week and a half ago when we were at, or 2 weeks ago when we were in Las Vegas, and it was just eye-opening for me to listen to where we're going to be in 5 to 10 years. Gavin, I mean, that was just a mind-boggling interview that you sat down, and it demonstrated, I mean, Leica is moving forward.
I hate to interrupt, Neil, but we're at break time.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
Let's go to our first break, and we'll come back and pick up with that and let Gavin proceed.
Great.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everyone, to NSPS Radio Hour. Today with Neil Sandler and Gavin Schrock, we're talking about the rollout of XYHT and a lot of other things that have to do with that. Neil was talking before we went to break about one of the emphasis being on youth and the the first edition had information in there about the first young surveyors meeting in the U.S. that we sponsored at our meetings out in California a while back. And you're so right. I mean, that's one of the things we see as an association is the reaching out to that next generation, because all of us are aware of where we stand on the age scale. And not only that, but I think you pointed out so clearly that what their interests are.
Hey, Gavin, why don't you talk a little bit about the oysters you've collected?
Oh, okay. Well, you were talking about before the break about succession planning. That was one of the most appealing things about this plan that your staff, there's a full publishing staff back there in Maryland, and I'm three time zones over here, but they had thought about this for years. It wasn't just the idea of it aimed at youth, but a little more aimed at where we are now. Whether people like it or not, where we are now, we have to recognize it. And, you know, somebody like Einstein said, you can't solve today's problems with the tools that caused them in the first place. So there was a big shift in, well, Neil will talk about in the publishing world, but the succession planning for our profession in particular, and the related ones that are kind of meshing a little bit more as time goes on, people are becoming more jack of all trades, ironically. So one of the approaches with the new publication was to have a lot more people who are actually active in the industry involved. Now, Neil's staff is a fantastic publishing staff, and they're very savvy and know a lot about surveying and the other stuff, but we went and found a lot of people in different countries as well that are active in their fields. Some of them have some writing experience, run current blogs, things like that. We got like Nick Dugan in the UK, who's a geomagician for big wind farms and giant projects. And you know, when we talked to these folks, we said what we'd like is small, timely bits of real coolness and relevant stories. And the analogy we used was, well, oysters kind of filter a lot of crap, but they produce pearls. So these folks that are out in their industry are filtering a lot of information, news, geo-coolness, you know. And then they come up with a pearl. Well, that's a short piece. There's a section in the new magazine called Located, and these are small, digestible, relevant, hitting a whole bunch of different disciplines. And these are given to us by people that are experts in their field. They're, you know, they have a full-time day job. That's a model that the magazine actually, we have a broader editorial staff now. I'm a practicing surveyor, you know, and we have a couple of others. Shahid Smith.
Yeah, Shahid Smith in Philadelphia. You got Julian Clifford
as well. There's several others that are you know, Kevin Litka, our LIDAR guy. He's a cutting-edge LIDAR guy. So between this broader staff of active people, you know, we didn't want stuff written kind of by somebody that hasn't done it in 30 years. So that was one of the goals. And it has to do with this succession planning. It all tied together.
Yeah, I think you know, as Gavin said, yeah, I think that
did I just lose
he's
contact?
Collected. Gavin has helped us collect just a group of, like I say, Shahid Smith, a working surveyor in Philadelphia. Julian Clifford just graduated recently from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. You know, he was an intern last summer at Esri. I got to tell you, even Gavin, the inaugural issue, did an interview, a sit-down with Jack Dangermon, and reading it on the airplane, the first half of the story, Jack Dangermon talks all about how he was intrigued working or learning the skills as a surveyor when he was in college. Jack says, basically, in the interview, Gavin, am I right, that is still the world of precision positioning is all surveying-centric, largely. And I got to tell you, some GIS folks said, you know, we've got to broaden our territory, too. We can't just be GISers anymore. So surveyors are not the only folks that are being impacted by a broadening of their vision. And what Gavin mentioned earlier, and I apologize for going on here, but what Gavin mentioned earlier is I'm not a surveyor. You know that, Kurt. I'm a publisher, but I graduated with a degree in print newspaper reporting. Now, talk about a change. Go into your local newspaper, if there is one, and find out if there are any jobs for newspaper reporters. You know, talk about change. Print journalism has changed dramatically, but, you know, we're in the information business. That's what we do. We provide everything that you read online, in print, electronically. We're going to be doing a lot more blogging. We're going to be doing a lot more podcasts. It's a confluence of everything. So that's basically the same thing that's happening in the world of precision positioning and measurement, I think.
I get the sense from what you're saying and looking in the magazine that your locator group or your contributor group will be somewhat dynamic. It won't be a static group necessarily. You'll be dealing with different people on some sort of a rotating basis, or am I incorrect about that?
No, that's correct. We've got a rather large bench now because there's a lot of disciplines we need to cover a little bit more in depth than we would have, in the past. Hydro and marine surveying, talk about an enormous field. Building information modeling. The world of GIS has changed. GIS is seeing its own cobwebs now. It's the Neo Geo movement, the open source Geo stuff as well. And in these different disciplines, as we pick these people up to, you know, the experts in the field for the bench, they all kind of had worded it the same way. There's a chasm between what the people that end use of the data, of the geodata, know about the positioning, and between what the positioning people, experts in their part, know about the end use, and they all went, we got to fill this hole in the middle. And that was another goal of this change in the publication.
Kurt, now I'm curious. I left your office late last week. I think it was on Friday afternoon. I dropped a copy by. Did you have a chance to look at it? Kurt?
I think we might have lost him, or he lost us.
Okay. Anyway, since we lost our moderator, one of the things I'd like listeners to know is that we're actually having a big launch of SYHT in a couple of weeks at the largest geospatial conference of any sort in North America, which, of course, is the ESRI User Conference, for lack of any other major event such as that. And we really look forward to meeting. Our editors are going to be there. Most of the staff are going to be at our booth. We're going to be giving away some drones to some folks who subscribe to XYHT out there. So we're excited about the new product. And
it's a free publication,
It's a free publication.
Hey, Neil, all I'm going to do is I'm going to log out and dial back in just in case we're actually been dropped out of the
we're
presentation.
Dropped out. Oh,
okay. Hang on. Let me try that.
I'll try it too. Okay.
Well, you're listening to America's Web Radio, and it seems that they're deciding on their own which direction they're going to go. We'll be back with more of the NSPS Hour after this.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Schonstedt, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com, and thank you.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstedt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details or visit www.shonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Yeah, Kurt, okay. I was asking...
Hold on, Neil. Let me get us started here again. I think we're back. So let's continue the conversation. As far as I know, we're back now. I'm not really sure what happened there. Initially, I thought it was my phone that had got off because I could hear you guys.
Oh, you couldn't hear us?
You couldn't hear
me.
I guess, anyway.
Print media is reliable. Yeah.
Yeah, the print media is doing it.
Okay, Kurt, I was asking about what you thought of the magazine. I dropped off a copy on Friday if you had a chance to look at it.
Right, yeah, and I said that obviously you didn't hear me, of course. But
yeah, oh, okay, I did not. Okay.
I did go, well, and I don't think anybody heard me. So anyway, we're back now, and I did go through the magazine. I was pretty intrigued with the whole thing. The layout is to me appears different. I think it's kind of a neat concept that you've put together, and then just so many different articles, everything from extraterrestrial photogrammetry to all the way, and then of course you mentioned earlier the interview with Jack Angerman, which I thought was pretty cool, and then all the way back to the dislocated article in the very end, which I thought was pretty good as well. And you guys kind of talked about that portion of the magazine earlier. But, yeah, I liked it. I thought it went really well, and I can see where it's going to reach out to that broader audience and really to the young surveyors that we've been talking about. Earlier you mentioned, Neil, I don't know when we got off track, but you said something to the effect about some manure being thrown or something. Don't worry too much about that. I heard a guy on the radio yesterday say that manure is just fertilizer, so you just use it for growing where you're going next. So.
Gotcha.
So there's Kurt, some of the change in the magazine. Well, there had to be a few things to make it look and sound different so that it did appear to be a big change. So the fundamentals are there. Well, that's part of the succession strategy thing. But some of the fundamentals are there and will always be there. We continue with hard surveying and boundary. There's the field notes online is... It's very boundary surveying centric. Landon Blake, he edits that, and he's continuing his long series on boundary law, his footsteps. And we also just picked up Warren Ward. Really honored that Warren decided that he liked the new concept and wanted to contribute an ongoing series, The Art of Retracement, which is what boundary is all about. And he has a very unique way of portraying that. And a lot of our other writers who've written on boundary law and surveying, we have Chuck Galani, who will continue his educational series in there. And Ryan Brazeal, catch his article in the first issue as well. He's written in PSM. He's an educator out of Canada, and he's kind of rethinking the way they're teaching the geomatics, sorry to use the G word, up there in Saskatchewan. So there's still going to be this heavy presence, and always will be, of surveying, because that is the core.
One of the questions that I had with regard to your writer group, let's assume someone has an interest in presenting something in the magazine. Do they just contact Neil's office, or
Are you doing your mining on your own, or how does that work?
We're doing both. I mean, Gavin, who's our editor, obviously is a good point of contact for story ideas. But I got to tell you, some of the best stories we've ever had, and Gavin will vouch for that, is people just come up to us or online and just mention, hey, by the way, I think this might be of interest to you. And next thing you know, I mean, good God, we've had cover stories as a result of someone just mentioned something to any one of us. So please, Gavin, all right, we're still looking for oysters, we're still looking for contributors. We're not saying we're going to publish everything, but we definitely want to hear your ideas.
Neil, we've actually been swamped with people contacting since the word got out of the bag about this from a broader range of folks. So we're working through all that, and there's opportunities for long, short, online, and blog. So it sort of gets triaged as to where the content will go. But we're trying to balance a bunch of extra new additional disciplines now as well. So there's room for a lot. The magazine will have like two large features per issue, and then half a dozen shorter ones, and then those little pearls in the located section.
And one thing I'd like to mention as a publisher is we have partnered with a number of major organizations in our world, and we now list a group of them at the very front. And you know, Gavin mentioned earlier Canada. To my knowledge, we're the only publication of our kind to have relationships, working relationships with associations, the Professional Canada Surveyors, PCS, Association of Canada Land Surveyors, ACLS. All of their members in Canada receive XYHT, get a free subscription to it. We recently signed agreements with, of course, first and foremost, we have National Society of Professional Surveyors members get our magazine. You're first and foremost. We have MAPS, Management Association of Private Photogrammetric Surveyors. We've got ERISA. We just signed an agreement with, I know you're going to be balked this a little bit, we just signed an agreement with the Unmanned Aerial Vehicle Association, AVSI. Their members are now qualified to get free subscriptions to FYHT. You know, the goal being to broaden our readership. The base continues to grow, and the interest continues to grow. I mean, we're in a burgeoning field. I mean, this is as we talk about, as I mentioned at the very beginning, our Pangea newsletter this week. Next week on public broadcast is going to be a beginning of a series about scanning. And Jeff Jacobs, as I said earlier from Leica, he said, boy, this is amazing to have a regular weekly program on public broadcast about scanning. They're going out to some of the archaeological ruins and places in the world, and it's being conducted by surveyors. Get it. So, cool.
Well, I'm trying to determine if we're still on schedule because actually some of the time when I'm hearing you guys, I'm hearing something else in the background, so it's a little bit...
So am I.
So I'm not really sure what that is, but nevertheless, when we first started, and maybe as we go into this, well, we got about a few minutes before the next break, Gavin, when we got started, you were going to talk about the actual expression of
FYHT. Yeah.
Yeah. Got sidetracked on that, so maybe you can cover that before the next break.
Yeah, well, getting the background that would help explain this. That is the first question, is people go, what the heck is that? And, Neil can talk later about how he and Dave Doyle, I think over a few pints, came up with the actual expression. But there was a need to find something that was looked a little different, but also had a deep meaning, something that could work across any of the high-precision positioning. What did they have in common? And the XYHT, you know, we're all familiar with, like, XYZ, Cartesian in surveying. But that's not intuitive to humans, you know. The exercises... Could you have an expression that could work to locate anything on the Earth, you know, in the usable space that humans can grasp intuitively? So the X and the Y is whatever ordinate system, you know, it could be a projection, a state plane, it could be lat long. But the big H was the one that what matters most to humans, and the way, if we're just standing there and view the world, the X and the Y is fore aft, you know, left and right, in whatever system or convention we have. But the H, if you ask somebody what elevation means, they go, well, you know, I'm at 100 feet. 100 feet above what? Well, the convention of, well, sea level, or height above an equipotential surface, or orthometric height. So that's the intuitive way the human body, which is kind of like a surveying instrument, views the world. Where does the water flow has to do with the big H, the orthometric. But we couldn't forget the last one. The little t, some people think it's XYHT, you know, XY height, but XYH, and the t is the temporal, the fourth dimension of time. Something exists somewhere, but it exists in time because there's change involved in that. That time stamp is incredibly important. What a lot of the engineering and surveying vendors and manufacturers talk about 4D, the fourth dimension, all the time. So that's where the expression comes from. And it's try to have it as something that intuitive to, you know, the way the humans view the world, but also is applicable through all of those other disciplines, you know, the surveying, the geodesy, hydrography, BIM. And, well, you guys got to dream it up over Pines, but then you handed it to me and said, could you do a disambiguation of this?
Well, you know, Dave Doyle over a pine, I have to admit over a pine, again, as he said, you realize where we're sitting or standing right now was actually 2 feet away when he was born. And I'm not going to divulge how old Dave Doyle is, but you know, the fact that over that short of a lifespan, land mass has moved 2 feet is huge. So I mean, over a period of greater time, I mean, how can you ignore it? So yeah, I think that having someone with Dave Doyle's background and experience, I know that probably everyone who's listening to this program has heard Dave speak at a conference or another. And, you know, when Dave comes in and talks about it, everyone just sort of stands by and listens. So, yes, so Dave mesmerized us all with XYHT. He wrote a story about XYHT, Gavin, a year or so ago. I mean, it was essentially a cover story. And at that point, we'd already begun with the wheels turning. Quite frankly, the wheels for XYHT had started turning 3 years ago. We did due diligence. Of course, we're not a surveying company. We're a publishing house. And we went out, first of all, with our advertisers, explained what our plans were. We wanted to see how they reacted to it. And I think one of the first people that said anything to me was the folks at Trimble said, Neil, stop calling us the Trimble Survey Division. It's Trimble Geospatial. I think that all the other major firms have come along and explained to us that they're essentially doing the same thing. We had we have a writer who occasionally writes, contributes from SAM Inc., Surveying and Mapping Inc., down in Dallas, Texas, or in Texas, and they now call themselves a geospatial solutions company. So I think we're not creating anything. We're just reflecting what you all are doing. And it's a modern reflection.
The current NSPS president might take exception with you saying Dallas because they're in Austin.
Oh, it's in Austin. Okay. Okay.
Geography.
I mean, like I said, we're not out to wrangle and shake the world. We're trying to be reflective and provide some leadership. And when I say leadership, it's not from us. It's from these pearls, these oysters that Gavin is collecting, that their careers are now and in the future, and they're telling us where they see things going.
Gavin, we've got a well over a minute or so before what I perceive to be our next break based on when we came back in.
Okay.
But I liked your terminology in your forward piece where you talked about XYHT being part of the language of expressing geospatiality. I thought that was a good phrase.
Well, it was funny when they said, hey, can you write what this means? I was literally listening to an old REM CD, shows how old I am. And Michael Stipe, I looked it up later. He said that the lyrics about, you know, stand where you are and think about direction and wonder why you haven't before. It was humans are built to observe, and sometimes we choose not to. And I went, okay, that's it. That's the reason I'm involved in this magazine is we want to encourage people to look over the well-trimmed hedges of their own discipline a little bit and see the related ones around them. So we hope surveyors do that more than they have.
Human body is a surveying piece of surveying technology, right, Gavin?
Yep, we are. We got level bubbles in our ears and everything. So
that's very true. Well, we're maybe half a minute before the break, so I don't want to get into the next topic. But when we come back, I don't want to leave out anything. I know you talked about maybe some of the journalistic changes. Maybe you want to cover those again. But I know our audience is interested in, you know, where are we going? Where's our next step? So when we come back from that break, I'll have you guys cover that if you're willing to do that. So let's do this last break, and we'll be right back.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're back for our last segment. Gavin, have you rejoined us?
Yep.
Okay, good, you're back. One thing we didn't get to do at our normal time, we usually have our Parker Davis Quick Stakes Contest every week where people send in an email to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com with the answer to our question of the week. So I'm going to make this a simple question for our listeners today. Tell me again, what's the name, the new name? Either Gavin or Neil. What's the new name of the magazine?
XYHT.
XYHT. Yep. That's the answer we're looking for, and the H has to be capitalized.
Correct. Thank you.
Big H.
Big H. Big H. Or something like that. Always says, what the H? What the H?
I don't want to cut short any other discussion that you guys want to get into about content or anything else, but I do want, but during that last segment at some point, talk about looking ahead.
Well, for the professions, there's a big challenge, and it's not just the surveying profession. There are the other related ones. There's an enormous challenge in succession planning and the education, the way things are taught. What's happening is we're in a big data capture era. Whether we like it or not, it has gone from being observing very discrete, very precise, and very detailed samplings of locations and points to mass data capture. You know, the big scanners and the photogrammetric and all that. And the people that do that, it's getting more data. Less extrapolation. The thing is, it sometimes often takes less people to do the same job, so it's very hard to do the mentoring. You got solo surveyors on the robot. It's hard to do the mentoring. Some things can't be taught through a correspondence course or something like that, boundary especially. A lot of experience and a lot of mentoring. So the challenge is going to be to find a way to do that in this new paradigm of a very experienced, sage surveyor who might have had two or three young folks working for him to pass that on. It may be a different model now. And we're pursuing that at the magazine. We're going to do ongoing education. And that's a big question we want to pass out is, what's the best way to proceed with this? So, Neil?
Yeah, and I was going to say, I just concur with what Kevin says. I mean, one of the things that worries me the most is, where are the next generation of educators coming from? I mean, we try our best to locate leaders in the field, but even some of the young folks, you know, Julian Clifford, a recent graduate of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Gavin, I assume it's one of the finest programs of its type in the world, correct?
Yep.
No, I mean, so they're well established, but unfortunately, it seems like every year we seem like we're losing another program, and that always worries me. Or the programs they're getting moved into, you know, civil engineering curriculums. I mean, what is the future, and where are where are our future leaders coming from?
Well, there's no question that's a big issue for the profession in general, because we spend a lot of time talking about the average age of the surveyor and the next crop coming along and all those kind of things. We haven't spent as much time talking about the educators. Just this last week I wrote a letter to Penn State University because they're having two retirements this year and another one coming right along behind it. And so what's going to be the makeup of that faculty going forward, and where are you going to find them? So you're absolutely right. It's a real challenge.
Gavin, you've been around the profession long enough, and Kurt, you've been around as long or longer. I mean, where do you guys see educators coming from? How are we going to teach our next, young people?
Go ahead, Gavin.
Yep, go ahead. No, go ahead, Kurt.
Well, I was just going to say, we've talked about it on the show before, and the part of the problem is we're not educating that next level of educators very well right now in our country. And when I say that, it's not that we're giving them bad education. We just don't have any places for them to get what they need to fulfill both what the university needs for its purposes and what the profession needs for its purposes. And that person kind of has to be a hybrid because, as Gavin so well pointed out a couple minutes ago, particularly on that boundary side, that mentoring part of that is so important. And if you're not getting any of that through your formal education at all, in today's world, with the way we work, it's harder and harder to pass that on once they get into the practice side. So maybe you can pick up on that too, Gavin.
Well, I've been looking at a lot of models from around the world where they're able to maintain a very strong path, got their succession planning going. And I've seen a lot of different experiments that flopped, but there's some that are proceeding well. So there's that, formal education on the one hand, and then apprenticeships on the other. It's becoming more difficult to do the apprenticeships, just the nature of the work, and that they can't afford to have a lot of people working for them to pass it on. And in the formal education, then you miss out on the best part, the hands-on. So there, in Europe, where there's less of a distinction between geomatics and surveying, they don't see this huge wall that they hate each other on, the other sides. It's more of an amalgam, and somebody gets, they have the formal education, but they've also started seeing things like the crowd lecturing. Accreditation of informal or not in classroom stuff. So, for instance, in Austria and Germany, they do guest lecturers, and it's being done online, but they're practicing in their field. They've got the SAGE surveyor out there or the scanning expert. That's their full-time job, but they do a lecture, yet they're allowed to get it accredited into the formal degree program. And I'm wondering if that's what we got to do. Distance learning, it's real hard for people trying to do a full-day job to go across the state to take in even a continuing education class. I mean, Joe Paiva and GeoLearn, I'm really pushing him to say, this has to be a way also to teach a new rod person. Get them to move along up through their licensing path. So
do you see a connection there then to what you guys are thinking with the magazine? I mean, I know this is obviously a topic of interest to everybody, but from the perspective of the magazine itself, do you see some connection there in terms of maybe providing some of this information that's coming from other countries that we're not seeing now, or what's your thought on that?
You know, one of the things that we're trying to do, Kurt, is we can't do all things be all things to all people, but we're trying to develop a sense of community, getting people excited about this profession, showing them that there are careers and paths and opportunities out there. Hey, Gavin, you were just recently up in Idaho. I think it was TopCon and it invited you for an educational activity. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did in Idaho?
Yeah. Up in the northern panhandle, there's been this sort of renaissance of innovation in technology. Their school system up there is really pushing STEM. And there's a group of folks in engineering and surveying firms that have gotten together and going, you know what, we're going to make this a STEM-heavy part of the state. So they had an educational. I got invited up to do a couple of lectures over a period of a few days around the school district, and they had other people come in. One of the VPs of TopCon, who had
Mark
quite a background
yeah.
in doing that. Mark, yeah, he had a background in that, and they got up there. They brought equipment in. They donated some equipment to the schools to do hands on. And the examples we gave boundary surveying examples. It was the foundation of it, and we had an event there for even the elementary school kids to come out. And there was a new core station that had been built by the elementary school, and it blew me away that these kids for 45 minutes, these fourth, fifth graders, had these most amazing questions. They're hungry for this stuff, and we have. You know, our profession needs to be ready to respond to them at that early age to show them that there is a career path.
I think that's a big part of our role. As far as providing the actual education, you know, we can supplement that through our resources, but at the same time, the professions themselves have got to take the lead. You know, I see some of the manufacturers displaying more interest in helping. But you know, I think that's an issue that certainly NSPS should be at the forefront of what you folks are doing there. Let's figure out how to lead. The educational make sure that the educational standards are as high as they can possibly be.
Have you guys seen any of that reporting recently? I've seen a few articles about the premise being floated around that STEM really isn't in jeopardy or the whole focus on STEM is overblown. Have you seen any of that?
A little bit.
Yeah, I didn't buy into it. I was just curious if you saw it.
Well, I can give you an example of where industry has stepped in on the STEM, which was needed to happen. I mean, STEM can be talked about and promoted, and the feel good talk about it all you want, but unless unless industry and professions step in more than they have. Here's an example. I was telling Neil about this. There's MATE, Marine Advanced Technology Education. And on their website, their mission right there is to grow the future workforce. And then I found out there's 80 sponsors, you know, in marine, maritime, oil and gas. And amongst the things they do are these underwater robot competitions for elementary school on up. They're having their international in a few days in Michigan, and XYHT, we're going to do a little film on that. But that I saw was the most, applied version of STEM was the actual industry that needs the future workforce took a direct hand in it. It doesn't cost a lot of money to do. And in the UK, there's a model, it's called Class of Your Own. The engineering, construction, and surveying industries, what they do is they arrange field trips for kids in elementary school to go to construction sites and see big projects, planting the seeds. What's being taught in STEM is not in jeopardy. What I saw in Idaho, that's being applied, you know.
That's good. Well, we've got maybe 2 to 3 minutes left, if, depending on how correct my clock is. Before we go, by the way, I want to apologize to our audience today for the, whatever interruptions we may have had and difficulties with them being able to hear what we're saying and of course, getting knocked off the air there somewhere. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe it was my mind went blank, so the phone went blank, too. I don't know if that was what happened. But nevertheless, I want to thank you guys for being with me today to talk about the rollout of XYHT and what your perceived role now going forward is, because I think people are interested in that. As you say, anytime there's change, people are looking like, well, okay, we've got to change. What does it really mean? So thank you so much for being with me. And in the next minute and a half to 2 minutes or whatever you might want to say in departing, you're welcome to say.
Kurt, I just want to say, you know, first of all, thank you, because you've been hugely supportive of everything we've been doing. Come on, you and I went through the ACSM transition together, so we know a little bit about transition, don't we, Kurt?
I mean, we do.
We held each other's hands. We had a bunch to talk about transition. I just think that, you know, if I look forward and thought that we're beginning, this is a new beginning. It's a revitalization of what we've learned over 33 years. And, you know, it's just the beginning. We're not saying we're perfect. We don't do perfect. We're a communications company. We're going to learn each and every day that we're here, looking for input. We're looking for new leaders and sources of information and content. Gavin is, as I said earlier, the rocket scientist of vision. If you got a crazy scheme that you think no one will listen to me, Gavin will listen to you. Trust me. He's come to me with some stories. I go, are you kidding? And you know, he said he had some friends that were gonna recalibrate the Hadron Collider in Switzerland. And I said, no one gets in there, Gavin. No one gets in there. Because he said they shut it down 1 week every year. And I bet him. I said, Gavin, if you can get in there, I'll pay for you to go to Switzerland and back. And sure enough, he got in there, and it was a cover story about a year ago. So, I mean, there's no harebrained schemes, are there, Gavin?
No. And the other thing, Kurt, I want to note is the tone. It's a lot of hard work. What we do for a living is hard work, you know, surveying. You know that, Kurt. But it's fun because it's interesting. So, you know, we're going to keep a positive tone. What was it that said the optimist and the pessimist might be headed for the same goal and may end up with the same results, but the optimist is going to have a lot more fun getting there.
Well, that's
so
a good thought for us.
That's the tone.
That's a good thought for us to end the show on for the day. And thank you both so much for being with me today and looking forward to the future.
Cool.
Thanks. Thank you, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.